I want to thank you and ask that you settle in and listen carefully to the following message. It's a two-part message. This week is part one, and next week, Lord willing, part two will be brought to you. The title I've given my message, well, it's kind of touchy. It's called, Mama's Gone to Hell. Mama's Gone to Hell. Wow. Where do I have the right to say that Mama's gone to hell? I don't really. I don't know my mama's heart. I never did. I only know what I see her do and hear her say. And my mama doesn't talk much about Jesus, or didn't. She's gone now. That was a long time ago. You see, the title of my message is one that may shock you. Shock a lot of you, in fact. But nonetheless, it's something we have to talk about and deal with. Is your mama gone to hell? Oh, let's have a short prayer before we get into it. Heavenly Father, it's a sad message indeed, a sad thought indeed, that my mama may be in hell. I heard her talk about you once in a while, but it wasn't in a very well-mannered way and respectful way, Lord. So I don't know. But I fear, Lord, and I know it's too late now. If wherever she is, that's where she is and will be. But Lord, I pray for those today who still have their mamas and they know they're not saved, they're not walking according to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I pray for them, Lord, and that's what this message is all about. Do you have a mama that you know by her own talk she's not going to heaven? I pray after this message you'll think differently and get really close to your mama. Because you don't want her to die and go to hell, do you? No, of course you don't. I pray in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Now, I'm not going to tell you your mom's gone to hell. Might sound like I already have, eh? But listen to the message, would you please? But the whole scenario is, if she wasn't saved, if she hadn't repented and believed in the gospel of Jesus Christ, then she is going to hell or gone to hell. You see, mamas go to hell too, just as well as wild, wiry kids go to hell and bad guys go to hell. And so do mamas. The same goes for your brother and your sister and all your aunts and uncles and cousins. About the only members of your family I can guarantee will not go to hell are your tomcat and your budgie bird. Now, before I'm finished saying what the Word of God has to tell us about this horrendous but elusive subject, you may wish you were a tomcat or a budgie bird. I don't know. You see, hell is the opposite of what? What? Hell is the opposite of heaven, right? Or I should say heaven is the opposite of hell. You will either go to heaven or you go to hell. And if you're a Catholic or some other cult, whoa, hold on there, you say. Catholicism ain't no cult. Oh, you shouldn't have said that. You just should not have said that. However, I respond to what you said. Well, since you started it, I guess the word of our all-sufficient God will have to answer it. You see, I've been a member of the Catholic Church since my mama took me there from her womb and had some priest sprinkle some water they called holy over my head. Why, I grew up in the Catholic Church. I made my first Holy Communion in the Catholic Church. I kissed my first set of rosary beads in a Catholic church. I kneeled before my first statue in a Catholic church. I lit candles for the dead in a Catholic church. I prayed to Mary in a Catholic church. I ate the real body of Jesus Christ and drank His precious blood in a Catholic church. I confessed my sins to a priest in a Catholic church. I believed that Jesus was not the only way to heaven in a Catholic church. I believed in a place they called purgatory, and that if we were too bad to go directly to heaven, even if we were dead, we could spend a time in purgatory. It's like no man's land. A time in purgatory until the prayers of the Catholic Church had cleansed us enough. Those who were alive could cleanse us enough their prayers to enter into heaven. I believed that we were allowed to steal, but only in moderation, in the Catholic Church. I learned that we were also allowed to lie and to cheat, but only in moderation, in the Catholic Church. We were also allowed to drink hard liquor and smoke, and I believed it was okay for a priest to abuse a helpless altar boy in the Catholic Church. Why did I believe all these things? Because the Catholic Church told me so. Because the Catholic Church told me so. And finally, I was told I was not to read the Holy Bible, the Word of God, by the Catholic Church. To all of you who are still in the Catholic Church, who crucify my blessed Savior Jesus Christ every day you receive communion, and who believe that you don't need Jesus to gain entry into heaven because you believe that Mary is co-redemptress with God's only begotten Son, I urge you with all my heart, with all my soul, run, run, run from there while there is still time. There is no salvation, my friends. There is no salvation through the Catholic Church. It's not Jesus and the Pope. It's not Jesus and Mary. It's not Jesus and the sacraments. It's not Jesus and your confessional. It's not Jesus and your idols. It's not Jesus and your baptism. It's Jesus the Christ and Him plus nothing. If you add anything to it, you lose everything you thought you had. But more importantly, you lose out on heaven. In the book of Acts, the Word of God says in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Did you get that? There's no salvation in any other. Is God a liar? No. Let God be true and every man a liar. There's no salvation in Mary. There's no salvation in the saints. There's no salvation in baptism. There's no salvation in church ordinances. There's no salvation in purgatory. There's no salvation in Catholicism. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Salvation is far, far from the wicked. Not everybody in the world will hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, but yet they are without excuse, for God made the heavens and the earth, and He left us with a conscience to seek out who made them. Seek, and ye shall find. That's what He said. Knock, and the door will be opened. Oh, before I got saved, I was just an easygoing kind of guy with lots of dreams that never came true. In the summer, I would go outside in my backyard and lie on the picnic table in the backyard, looking up into the black night sky. And I would wonder, what's really up there? What's really up there? Is that where heaven's at? Or is heaven just a state of mind? But the point is, I never stopped looking at that sky, day or night. I never stopped wondering, is God real? Is He? Or is death the end of everything? I was searching. I was always searching. Then I started talking to my invisible God as though He were one of my friends. This went on for years, and my life continued to deteriorate, but I was still searching. That elusive truth was always just a step away. That seed, that conscience that's inside every person was drawing me like a giant magnet. Someone once told me, God loves you, Tommy. And my response was, yeah, that's why my life's in such a mess. I was living in so much sin, I just wanted to end it all, get it over with. I used to go for early morning walks along the riverbank and talk and cry and beg the man upstairs to kill me. To kill me. And when he refused, I tried to do myself in. You see, folks, my point is, you gotta come to the end of self if you wanna make room for Jesus. Once you realize there is a greater power than Superman, then and only then are you ready for the Lord to draw you to His Son. And that's the only way you can get to know the Father. Jesus said in John verse 6, or chapter 6, 44, now listen carefully, listen very carefully. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him. The key word is draw. All the Old Testament saints, they never heard of Jesus. And that all must come to Him for salvation. Huh, no, but they knew God and it was imputed unto them for righteousness. They couldn't go to heaven without Jesus. Where did they go? To a place called paradise in Abraham's bosom until after the resurrection, at which time Christ rose from the dead and went into paradise and took all the saints home to heaven with Him. Since the beginning of time, the importance of the Holy Trinity, God the Father drawing sinners to the Son for redemption and indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Like I said, seek and ye shall find. But reject Him and the lake of fire will be your home. You know, there's a lot of mamas and papas hanging around those days or these days who have sons and daughters who are time and again rejecting Jesus Christ, and they don't even know it. Are these parents worried? Aren't they? I don't think so. Not really. Why not? because they believe in the left behind theory. The left behind theory. That once they see their parents gone in the rapture, disappearing, then they will believe. And then they will get saved. Well, this is contrary to Bible doctrine. The Bible says that God will send a strong delusion. I have prepared a sermon on that very issue, which you can hear on my website, tillycuns.net. A strong delusion that the world will believe a lie. What lie, you ask? What lie? Well, there's not much on it in Scripture, but if I were you young people and old skeptics, I would give it some serious thought. Yes, I would. One theory is that these Christ rejectors will still be able to get saved in the tribulation period. Of course, that would have to mean that their hearts were never abandoned before the rapture. Once the heart is hardened, you're bound to believe a lie. And when you meet Pharaoh in hell, ask him about hardened hearts, huh? The way I see it, this is exactly what will happen. Your heart is already hardened and you will believe a lie and take the mark of the beast, 666, in the back of your hand or in your forehead. Have you seen the mark that's going around these days? Where they're implanting a microchip into the back of people's hands? Could this be what the scripture refers to as the mark of the beast? Could it? Could be. All I know is I ain't taking no microchip in the back of my hand. No siree, no bob. How about you? Just so you can open a door with just waving your hand in front of it? What power is in that? Give me a key anytime. Or at best, a button to push. But they ain't putting nothing in the back of my hand or my forehead. No way, Jose. No way. Now, the age of grace, well, it'll be over when the tribulation begins. The age of grace will be over. The tribulation is a time when the 144,000 tribal saints will preach the gospel of the kingdom. And God will revive his covenant with the Jewish remnant. Wow. Have you seen what's going on over there or heard at least, what's going on over there in Israel these days? Whoa! On the verge of a mammoth war. Because the United States, a wannabe Christian nation, has moved their embassy to Jerusalem. Where it should be anyway. My, that's strange. Isn't that weird? Why people would get in a big furor, so to speak, an uprising over such a thing? Well, the U.S. isn't the only country. There are other countries joining in that don't want this to be. Well, we must leave that up to God. Right? If I were you, I'd give my life to Christ now. Tomorrow is promised to no one. No one! Only what's done for Christ will last. Did you know that? Only what's done for Christ will last. We're just a crazy people with lots of excuses, aren't we? Oh, yeah, I meant to get up early and go to church, but I had a bad night. Oh, man. I was out with the guys. I couldn't make it. Or, I don't feel that good today, Ma. I don't think I can go to church. Oh, yeah. Here come the excuses. Well, listen, you can get away with making an excuse as to why you didn't go to work yesterday or why you didn't show for the family picnic, but make an excuse for rejecting Christ? I wouldn't go there if I were you. Anyhow, don't say you were never warned. This is why God laid this message on my heart. Because I was warned. Demographics indicate there are many billions of people on the earth today. And guess what? Only about 1.5 billion are some variety of a Christian. But what about the remaining billions? Hindus, Buddhists, Muslims, Jews, secularists, atheists, Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, Catholics, and those who are simply nothing at all. What about them? Well, the door is still open, people. The door is still open. It's estimated that over 2 billion are out of simple reach of the gospel message for various reasons. That's why the gospel needs to be preached to the four corners of the earth, so people can hear it, people can understand it, people can get saved. God knows who these people are, and if they will be saved or not. That's God's foreknowledge. That's something to think about, isn't it? Over 2 billion and thousands of them are dying daily. Dying from starvation, plagues. Now, we're not talking about kids below the age of accountability or the mentally handicapped from birth. God's grace is sufficient. His grace is sufficient. This is where the conscience issue kicks in. The conscience, you know what the conscience is, right? It's what goes on inside your head. What makes you feel good today or makes you feel bad tomorrow. I'm not talking about physical, I'm talking about mental. The conscience, the spiritual side of you. This is where the conscience issue begins. Whereas God can be seen in His creation, and we're back to seek and find. We must turn to the book of Romans, chapter 1, the old faithful book of Romans, chapter 1, verses 18 to 20. You know what? The book of Romans is probably the greatest book there is in the scriptures. I love the book of Romans. And I believe in every word is inspired by God. I have no doubts about that whatsoever. Romans. Mm-hmm. Oh, Romans 1. Yeah, I was way over in Romans 18. Romans 1. Okay, verses 18 to 20. I'm going to read them to you. Please listen carefully. Oh, please listen carefully. I beg of you. Romans 1, verses 18 to 20, entitled, Gentiles Guilty Before God. Are you listening? Okay. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Verse 19, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. Verse 20, for the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. They that are without excuse. Have you got that? Read it yourself. Read it over a few times. It'll fill you with wisdom. Powerful, powerful verses. Look at them again and again. Show them to your Christ-rejecting families and friends. You can't do any more than that. You can't. You see, the existence of God is an ongoing thing. It's not just an eclipse of the sun or a rainbow after the rain. It's also the devastating earthquake that tells you God is dealing with you, or the tsunami that breaks down your idols, or the volcanoes that fill your nostrils with the taste of God's anger. The signs of God are everywhere and always have been. The evidence of His presence is overwhelming. Did you hear that? The evidence of His presence is overwhelming. You know, our time's just about up. I've come to the end for today, but I'm going to continue this message next week, same time, here on the Just Jesus Radio Network. And I invite you to tune in as well. It's been a joy to have you here. It's been a joy to preach the Word of God. And I know one thing for sure. If we believe in the Word of God, it will not return to us void. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Is this what you believe? I pray it is. May God bless you. In Jesus' name, amen.